All right, everybody, we're going to dismiss the kids for Children's Church. And you all can take your seats again, please.
Good morning.
Good morning. We're going to dismiss the kids for Children's Church, and they can go on upstairs. Now, yeah, off you go. Get out of here. You're all right. Kind of feels like home around here. We're in the third lesson of our Welcome Home series today. And it's great to see all of you. Just praying the Lord blesses you and meets your needs. And had some great worship already. We've had some great Sunday school. We've had some great prayer times already. And I just believe in God to continue the good stuff. So today's title is Kick Off Your Shoes and Stay a While. 2 weeks ago was Welcome Home and Acceptance, and how God accepts us. And we just talked about all the invitations that are in the Bible. We talked about the whole concept that is God a rejecting God or is God an accepting God? What does He prefer to do? What is His heart? Who is He really? And we discovered in that message that He's absolutely an accepting God. So if you need to hear more about that, you can grab a CD, you can check it out online. We have it there at our website also. Last Sunday we talked about belonging. So it's one thing to feel like you're accepted and everybody's okay with you hanging around a little bit, but do you really belong? Is it really home? And we talked about that last week, that God says, yeah, you belong with the prodigal son story, the lost son story. The dad said, here's the robe back, here's the ring back, here's the authority, here's the resources, your home, son, welcome. And that was that's the heart of our God. Jesus told that whole story to try to explain the heart of God to us regarding how He really feels about us. We're accepted, yeah, but we belong too. We talked about an inheritance, you know, and we talked a little bit about you don't usually run around to the lawyer's office and ask if there's any reading of the wills that day to see if you can get an inheritance. You know, you don't will your way into an inheritance, but if you belong, you automatically have an inheritance. And God says that we have an inheritance with Jesus and with Him. So we belong that much to God. And you can listen to the message again online or grab a CD today if you want to hear more about that. But today is kick off your shoes and stay a while. And not only are you accepted by God, and not only do you belong to the family of God and belong to God as a son or daughter, but God wants you to kick off your shoes and stay a while. God really enjoys hanging out with us. He really enjoys that. And He says, don't be in a hurry. And don't just rush in and rush out. I want you to be so comfortable. I want you to know that you belong and you're accepted. And you can just hang out here with me. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. There's several take off your shoes stories in the Old Testament. God spoke to Moses and Joshua. And there was a burning bush thing, you know, with Moses. And he's in the desert. And if you kind of know a little bit about Moses' history as he was not supposed to have been alive. They were supposed to kill him. He was in Egypt, a Jewish boy. They were supposed to kill all the males that were born, but his parents kept him alive, sent him down the river in a little basket. Pharaoh's daughter picked him up, raised him in Pharaoh's house. Kind of got this story going on. It's a miraculous thing. an amazing thing. One day Moses at 40 years old runs out into the village where the people are, and he sees an Egyptian beating an Israeli, and so he kills the Egyptian. He says, God called me to be a deliverer. He kind of got a little ahead of the game, you know. He got a little too zealous. He ended up killing the Egyptian, buried him in the sand. The next day, two Israelis, two Jewish guys were arguing, and he's trying to be a peacemaker, and one of them said, what are you going to do, kill me like you did the Egyptian yesterday? And Moses goes, uh-oh, the story's out. So he takes off running, and he runs off into the desert. He meets a girl, and they get married, and he's just taking care of sheep, minding his own business. Kind of feels like I think he's lost his life. I think he kind of feels like he's wasted it. He had some destiny. He had some purpose. He made some mistakes. It's over. But all of a sudden, he's walking in the desert, and here's a bush that's burning, and it's not being consumed. A lot of the firefighters would really like that today, huh? It's not being consumed. It's not going anywhere. It's not traveling anywhere. It's just this one bush in the desert burning. And out of the bush, the voice of God comes and says, Moses, come over here. Take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. So that's kind of the first take off your shoe story that we get in the Bible. And so Moses thought he blew it, thought it was over, but here's God's invitation. Come into my presence. Come here. I have some things I want to say to you. I want you to know your life isn't over. I want you to know that you haven't blown it. I want you to know that I'm the great Redeemer. I want you to know that I'm going to send you right back to Egypt, and you're going to deliver your people. You're going to deliver my people. And Moses, he took a little convincing, you know. He was feeling pretty bad about himself. He took a little convincing. But I want you to know that God does similar invitations to us. We may think we've blown it. We may think we don't qualify. We may think we've lost our purpose, our destiny. We're so far off track, not even God can get us back on track. But God says, come over here, take off your shoes. And in the Old Testament, the take off your shoes thing was, you're on holy ground. Take off your shoes. And so what does that really mean today? I'm going to talk a little bit about the Old Testament taking off your shoe thing. I'm going to talk about the New Testament taking off your shoe thing. So in the Old Testament, it was kind of like your shoes are where you are touching the earth. It's the defilement and the uncleanness of your life. That's kind of your shoes there in the Old Testament. And, you know, I went to the chiropractor a while back, and the chiropractor I go to, he kind of does the little actuator thing, you know. He doesn't crack your bones like some of them. And so he puts you on the table and lays you down, and he measures your heels, you know, and then he pops your back with a little doo-woppy-doo-wop thing. And so I'm oblivious. I get on the table. He lays me down. And I didn't realize that I'd stepped in a bunch of dog poop on the way in. And I'm pretty sure he wishes he would have had me take off my shoes prior to that. But our shoes, I got to thinking about back in the day when donkeys and horses and everything is what you traveled the roads on. And some people didn't have donkeys and horses, so they had to walk on the same roads that the donkeys and horses were on. I wonder if they had stuff stuck to their shoes. I'm just kind of thinking that shoes being a symbol of the dirtiness and uncleanness of our life is probably pretty relatable. Probably pretty relatable. And so God is telling Moses and Joshua later the same thing. Joshua, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. I want you to come to me, but there needs to be a cleansing in your life for you to come to me. I want you to come really close, really personal. And what made the ground holy ground? An hour earlier, it wasn't holy ground. And an hour later, it wasn't holy ground. What made it holy ground is God was there. That's what made it holy ground. And so the presence of God, and we're talking about the manifest presence of God. Because we know that God is omnipresent, right? Which means he's everywhere all the time. You can't escape him. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. You cannot escape God. So then to say, but his presence is, creates this holy area, this place we're invited into, but it's the manifest presence of God. In the Bible, God talks about his presence in a few different ways. He says, I'm always present with you. I'm always with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. We know that God's everywhere. That's the omnipresence of God. We know that. But he also says that where two or three are gathered in my name, there I'm present with them. What does that mean? If you're present, but then two or three are in your name, and then you're present, huh? And then he talks about our corporate gatherings. When we all get together, he's present with us in the corporate gatherings, not just a small group of two or three. So the presence of God has some different degrees and some different levels. A lot of people say, I can serve God and experience God all by myself in the mountains, on the stream. That's kind of true. God's everywhere, and you and I can experience God anywhere. True. But he said, where two or three are gathered in my name, now I'm present with them in a whole different way, in a better way, in a closer way. And then he says that if we get together as a congregation in our congregational meetings, he's with us in an even different way, in an even cooler way, congregationally. So when we're talking about the presence of God, I want you to kind of know that it's cool to be with God in the mountains and on the streams. Cool. But it's really cool to be with God where two or three are gathered intentionally, on purpose, in his name, to connect with him, to pray with him, to hear from him. That's really cool. And you know what's even cooler? When 100 or 200 of us gather together in his name on purpose to connect with him, pray to him, worship him, hear from him, that's even cooler. That's even better. So let's get back to the story. Huh? That was just my little soapbox. It's a little side note for us there. Back to the story, though. God says, Moses, I want to talk to you. And the Bible says that Moses was the friend of God, and he talked to Moses face to face. Remember when the brother and sister were a little jealous? Well, who do you think you are, Moses? We're just as cool as you. We're just as good as you. And God talked to Aaron and Miriam and said, weren't you a little bit concerned about talking to Moses that way because he's the guy I talk to face to face? He's the guy I'm really personal with. So this invitation of take off your shoes is an invitation to, I want you to get very, very close to me, and I want to tell you some things that's very personal for you and for what I want you to do. And in order to get close to me, you need to take your shoes off. You need to get some cleansing. You need to understand that this is a different spot than a casual spot. This is sometimes God invites us into something that's a little more formal, that's a little more personal, and a little less casual. I'm a pretty casual guy. But every once in a while, God says, Kelly, I want to invite you into something a little less casual, a little more personal, and I want you to take off your shoes, and I want you to understand some cleansing and some separation, and I want you to pay attention. This is a special time. This is a special thing that's going on. So if our shoes represent defilement or dirt or contamination of our feet, and it talks about the contamination of our ways, the contamination of our conversation, why does God want to point that out? Sometimes we wonder, why does God point out that we're sinners? Does anybody know you're a sinner? Did anybody have to tell you that? It was like, oh, really? Really? I didn't know. It's like you got a booger on your nose. Really? I didn't know. Thanks for telling me. But did anybody really ever have to somebody say, well, I didn't know I was a sinner. Thanks for telling me. Nobody had to. It wasn't a revelation to me. Was it to you? Maybe some of you still aren't sure. Do you guys know that you've sinned in your life? Do you know that you need a Savior? You know that? You know that you're contaminated? I know that. Nobody had to tell me that. So I don't think God's trying to say, hey, Here's a clue. You have sin. But I think God really wants to say something else. I think he wants to say, don't you know that the way that you live some days are inferior ways? Inferior ways. Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy, right? John 10:10. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Don't you know that some of the ways that you have are inferior? And wouldn't you rather have a more superior way to live? Not that you're better than anybody else, but it's just a better way for you. You get a better result in your life. You get more peace. You get more happiness. You have fulfillment. A better way to live. And so sometimes God's inviting us in, and he's saying, I want you to drop the inferior things, and I want you to take up something that's a little better, something that's an improvement over what you're currently doing. Don't you like new and improved things? I like new and improved things. I like when it says new and improved, I think, well, it was really terrible last time. Maybe it's better this time. A new improved taste. Diet Pepsi, new and improved taste. Well, it was so bad last time. Maybe it wasn't, but maybe it's better. But when it says new and improved, I'm a little interested. If it was something that I loved, and now they say it's new and improved, I'm nervous. Because I really liked it before, and I'm pretty sure you can't improve on it. It was awesome. And every once in a while, it's like, wow, they did. That's even better than before. But God looks at us some days and he says, Kelly, I have some new and improved ways for you. I have some new and improved ideas for you. I have some new and improved things for you. And I think sometimes when God says, would you take off your shoes, especially in the Old Testament context, I think he's saying, would you recognize that some of the ways that you're living isn't producing what you want? And some of the ways that you're living isn't good for your family, and it isn't good for your health, and it isn't good for your life. Wouldn't you like something better? And I'm going, uh-huh. And he says, then let me cleanse you, and let me talk to you. Why don't you come a little closer? And so Moses, he came to the Lord. God spoke to him. God sent him back to Egypt. Great things happen. When we listen to God, great things happen. When we can take off our shoes and get close to God, great things happen. Every time, all the time, those great things happen. But in the New Testament, taking off your shoes is a little different. We already have a greater access to God than all the Old Testament people could have even thought or dreamed of. Today, because of Jesus Christ, we have access to God. We're accepted and we belong, right? We already figured that out the last couple weeks. We have this great access to God. We have this great access to his presence now because of Jesus and his resurrection and the sending of the Holy Spirit and all of that. So when we think about this welcome home thing, we think about we belong and we're accepted. But I also want you to think about God's your friend. In John chapter 15, verses 13 through 15, Jesus says, I'm calling you my friend. I'm calling you a friend. He said, I'm telling you things that I haven't told other people. I'm having conversations with you that I haven't had those conversations with other generations before. I'm calling you my friends. And I think, wow, that's New Testament stuff. So in the Old Testament, it's the burning bush, take off your shoes thing. In the New Testament, God says, come close to me. I will cleanse your sin with the blood of Jesus. All you have to do is confess your sin, and you're cleansed. Come close to me, and I will tell you things, and I will show you things, because I don't only want to be your God, and I don't only want to be your judge, and I don't only want to be the eternal one in your life. I want to be your friend. And Jesus calls us three times in those verses. He calls us friend. And I'm going, okay, so this is better. I think the New Testament's better. How many of you agree the New Testament's better? You guys agree? Yeah, me too. I probably would have been stoned before the age of 16. Because if you sass your parents, they just took you out and piled rocks on top of you. That's what they did back in the day. Thank God that day's over. We'd be out of rocks by now. So God really wants to speak to us face to face like a friend, and he's always inviting us into this kind of a relationship. Ever since he lost us in the Garden of Eden, God's been pursuing us. You realize that? He's been pursuing us. And he's still pursuing us today. The relationship that he wants is he wants a close, intimate, face-to-face, friend-to-friend relationship with us. In the Old Testament, there was a separation between us and God. God was holy, we weren't. It was really difficult to get together. After Jesus died on the cross, what happened in the temple after Jesus died on the cross? The veil in the Holy of Holies, between the inner court and the Holy of Holies, was torn in two. Supernaturally, it was a big old thick heavy thing. It wasn't like a piece of gauze, you know, it was a big old thick heavy thing that was supernaturally, by God or his angels, however he did it, he tore the veil in two, symbolizing now you have access to me. Now you can come in. I always thought that I should be sitting up here in this chair sometime during this series. You know, now you can just go, come in and kick back. Should I take my shoes off? I'm not quite there yet. We'll take my shoes off here in a minute. You can just kick back. You have access to me. God invites us into his living room. Sometimes we think we got to come to God with bloody knees, crawling, penitence and tears. God says, why don't you just come to me? Yeah, you need to repent. You need to cleanse that dog poop off your shoe, for sure. For sure. But why don't you just come into my presence boldly now? Why don't you just come into my presence now? This is kind of cool. I think I should preach like this every Sunday. Where's that lever? Why don't you just come into my presence? Take your shoes off. And stay a while. Why don't you just do that? Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, talking about Jesus, who passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. I just love those first couple of verses. The last one's really good too. But those first couple is, hey, don't you know that you have a high priest? You have Jesus. You have God himself. You have the Son of God. And he understands. He gets it. When Jesus came to planet Earth, he experienced every temptation that you and I experience. He experienced it, but he didn't sin, but he experienced it. So when he goes back to heaven and he's interceding for us, he says, hey, I understand how difficult that is. Let's give them a break here. Let's forgive them of that sin. Let's give them strength to overcome that temptation. I understand that. So he's not sitting up there. How many times do we not have sympathy for each other or empathy for each other? How many times do we not understand how difficult it is for somebody? How many times do we judge them about how weak they are, how stupid they are, how whatever they are? How many times do we judge people? Generationally, we judge people. Gender, we judge people. Racially, sometimes we judge people. Say, oh, not us. Maybe it's just the other churches. Maybe it's not you guys. And the old Native American saying is, you don't judge somebody until you walk a mile in their moccasins, right? Take their moccasins off before they come in and take their shoes off, but Jesus walked a mile in our moccasins. He understands. He gets it. So as judgmental as we are some days, He's not. He knows. He understands. He understands the frustration. He understands the pain. He understands the anxiety of wanting it different and wanting it better and depressed that you did it again and depressed that you fell for that trick. And he understands that. And he's really accepting. In verse 16 it says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find help in the time of need." Today, we can come boldly into the presence of God. And when we come boldly into his presence, what do we find? Mercy and help and grace in our time of need. That's what we find. We don't find him going, you sure are stupid. We don't find him doing that. We don't find him going, yeah, girls always do stuff like that. We don't find him doing that. We don't find him going, yeah, guys with their ego, I know guys always do stupid stuff. I get it. We don't find him judging us. We don't find him being harsh with us. We find him saying, I get it. I was there. I experienced temptations. I died on a cross for you. I rose from the dead for you. I've ascended into heaven. I'm making intercession for you. And you can now come boldly into my presence. And you should come to me. And when you come to me, you should kick off your shoes and stay a while. You shouldn't just kind of drive through. I'd like a burger, fries. Could you supersize that? Diet Coke. You know, you shouldn't just do that with God. You shouldn't go through God's drive-through and just kind of afraid to go in. Can I just get you to throw a blessing out the window at me? Can I get you to do that? That way I don't have to tip you. Oh, I better move quickly off of that point, huh? It grew quiet in the house there. You just do the little drive-through thing, God. I'm just going to do a little drive-through blessing thing. And that way I don't have to go in. I don't have to take my shoes off. I don't have to unbuckle my seatbelt. You know, I can just add it to the Big Mac wrappers on the floorboard over there. I better go back to the chair here in a sec. Let's look at this verse in the Message Bible. It's probably going to pop up on the screen. Maybe. There it is. Now that we know we have Jesus, this great high priest with ready access to God, let's not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing, experienced it all but the sin. So let's walk right up to him and get what he's so ready to give. Take the mercy and accept the help. Just come boldly into his presence. That's what he says. Come on in, take off your shoes, and stay a while. It's not like going into some office. You walk into the office, and you got to walk up to the reception desk, you know, and you got to stand there, and you got to wait and listen and wait for your turn, and maybe say, sorry, doctor's out, you don't get your appointment today. Whatever happens, you're not walking into a clinical office and St. Peter's up there at the reception desk, you know, and you got to qualify to get back into where the important stuff is. Nope. He says, come on in, sit down, take a load off, take your shoes off, and stay a while. Why don't you just do that? Why don't you just come and stay a while? Shoes in the New Testament might represent something else. Our sin, it's really easy to take care of today. It's really easy. If you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It's really easy to take care of today. So that's not the deal. You know what's harder? What's harder is our belief that God accepts us. Our belief that God receives us. Our belief that God would actually invite us into his living room now after we'd done that, said that, been that. Would God really want me to come in and take my shoes off? Would he really want me to do that? Sometimes that's harder than just getting your sin forgiven. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody relating? Are you picking up what I'm putting down? What could the shoes represent in the New Testament? Busyness, pressure, stress, activity. You don't feel like you can stop. You don't feel like you can slow down. You always have to be on alert. Take off your shoes and stay a while. Even as Christians, it's like go, 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 work, work, work. You hang out around here, we're kind of that way too. Go, 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 work, 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 work. Or we got more for you to do. How would you like to sign up for this? Sign up for that. Sign up for that. We need more people here, more people there, more people there. Yeah, we're a little busy, but we still got to pull away, get into the recliner, take off our shoes, and stay a while with God. God's not near as interested in what we do as in who we are. Sometimes the only reason we do stuff, it's not to be accepted by God. We're already accepted. It's not to belong because we already belong. It's even not to get the invitation to the living room because we already have that. The work that we do, the work that I do, is simply because I want a bunch of other people to come into God's living room. I want a bunch of other people to get the dog poop off their shoe. You know what I'm saying? That stuff stinks. I want a bunch of other people to come into His presence. That's why I work as hard as I work and do what I do, and that's why I'm always inviting you to sign up and help us. Because there's 1,000 more people out there, at least, in our area that need Jesus, that need relief. How do you spell relief? It's not R-O-L-A-I-D-S. It's J-E-S-U-S. That's how you spell relief. He invites you into this relationship. So God loves it, and I don't know if this is in your notes or just mine, but God loves it when we're busy doing good and helping others, but there's times He just wants us to settle down in His living room, kick off our shoes. There's a good time to kick off my shoes. Woo! Put those size 13s down there on the floor. Oh, that feels lots better. And just stay a while. Some of you are going, yeah, but I'm hungry. Could you hurry up? I don't want to stay a while today. Yeah, I'll hurry up. Why do you think God instituted days of worship, Sabbath days, holidays, feasts, celebrations? He wants us to hang out with Him. In the Old Testament, all those celebrations and all those feasts was, hey, take a week off work and hang out with me. Let's eat, let's drink, let's be happy, let's sing, let's dance. Just come be with me for a while. And the Jewish people had more holidays and more feasts and more celebrations. Us Americans, we're stupid. We work way too hard. We go work on our holidays. Labor Day, you're supposed to work, right? That's what Labor Day is all about. No. It really isn't. So taking off our shoes is a sign of acceptance, belonging, comfort, and rest. Anybody ever have shoes that hurt your feet? Isn't it nice to take those things off? It's like, hallelujah, there is a God. Taking off our shoes means we stop what we're currently doing. We refuse to get in a hurry. We determine to stay a while. Too many times God invites us to take off our shoes. Have you ever feel like you come into the Lord's presence really quick? Say, God, you know, I really kind of love you, and I really kind of like to spend a little time with you. But you know, I gotta go. Well, Kelly, take off your shoes and stay a while. I'd love to, but got that thing at church I got to go to, God. Well, take off your shoes and stay a while. Now, I've got 3 other appointments ahead of you, you know. Kelly, take off your shoes and stay a while. I really would, but the kids are in the car. I really would. I open the door sometimes. You go to somebody's house, you open the door and say, I can't stay long. I'm just here to drop off this book and say a little drive-through prayer, and God bless you. Hallelujah. You know, you set yourself up, but I can't stay long. I can't stay long. I think we do that to God way too many times. We say, God, really can't stay long, but I do really love you, kind of, sort of, really do, really. Even if you convince somebody, how many times have people tried to convince you to take your shoes off and stay a while? You're just too busy. Well, sit down. We can't even sit down. Why don't you just sit down and, I can't stay. God said, I'd really like you to stay a while with me. Not only are you accepted, not only do you belong, but would you please hang out a little while with me? Because I like you. I like talking to you. I like being around you. Come into my living room and hang out with me. Even if we are convinced sometimes to sit down and take off our shoes, the sign of I'm getting ready to leave is we get up and put our shoes back on. That's the sign. It may be an hour before we get back out the door, but the sign is I gotta go put my shoes back on and because I'm leaving. So the shoes sometimes is a sign of I'm just going to relax and hang out with you. I'm going to let go of my stress. I'm going to let go of my agenda. I'm going to let go of the other priorities, and I'm just going to hang out with you, God. Why are we in such a hurry? I was thinking this morning as I was going through this, I was thinking about back in the day when the railroad was the main transportation thing, and they had what they called the mail crane, which was this bracket beside the railroad track that you put the mailbag on. And in order to deliver mail and pick up mail, they did it by the railroad train, and they didn't stop or slow down. It's kind of like our version of the McDonald's drive-through window. It's kind of that. It's when the train come by, it's woo-woo, and they stick the hook out the window, and whoo, they grab that bag and rip it in, you know, rip it out sometimes. And I was reading stories on the internet that they just talked about how all the letters that were strung out across the railroad tracks. And it was worse than the Pony Express as far as you didn't know if it was going to show up or not. You didn't know where it went. You think our mail's bad today, Steve, and that's not really that bad, but some people think our mail's bad today, but just think about what it was like in that day. You just stuck the hook out the window of the train car and ripped it in, and if you had an out bag, you just rolled it out the door when you went by the depot. And sometimes we're acting like that's how we're going to get a blessing from God, where woo-woo, grab a blessing on our way by. And God says, hey, why don't you just take off your shoes and stay a while? Why don't you do that? Sometimes we don't because we don't think God's that interested in us. We don't think he's that interested in hanging out with us. We're not sure what we would talk about. It's like I'm not a great conversationalist personally. That's why I married Kari. I just take her with me. She talks. I go, mm-hmm. That's not the only reason I married her, but it was one of the fringe benefits. She gets to talk, and everybody loves her, and I go, mm-hmm. And I'm the one in the corner putting my shoes on. That's me. But God just would really like us all to slow down, hang out with him. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. How many times have you sat down in somebody's living room or they sat down in your living room and they just lightened your load? They just blessed you. They just encouraged you. They didn't have to say a lot or do a lot, but when that interlude was over, you're grateful that they were there. Well, God says, if you'll cast your cares on me, I care for you. I'll help you. I'll lighten your load. We got several other versions we wanted to look at today. Amplified, casting the whole of all of your care, all of your anxieties, all of your worries, all of your concerns, once and for all, on him. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. That's pretty cool. Now that's amplified, huh? What's the next version say? New Living, giving all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you. And then the Message Bible, live carefree before God. He is most careful with you. That's some pretty awesome stuff, huh? So let's conclude. Here's what I want you to know today. God is an accepting God. You're acceptable to Him. I want you to know that, because if Satan attacks you, he attacks you on that point, doesn't he? I'm not acceptable to God, and I'm not acceptable to God. Satan tells me that. I'm sure he tells you that. You want God to do what? You need God to help you with what? You're not acceptable to Him. You don't qualify for that. It's like Satan is the receptionist at the office of God. What's that all about? You don't determine if I get in to see God or not. You don't determine if I get an appointment or not. Get out of here. That's what we should tell that voice. That's what we should tell him. Here's also what I want you to know. You belong to God and you belong with God. You belong. He adopts you. We talked about that yesterday. God is the spirit of adoption. Everybody wants in, you're in. The spirit of adoption. That's His heart. You're an heir of God, and you have a wonderful inheritance. God invites you to a close, face-to-face relationship with Him. You can sit down and relax in His presence. So every time I sit down to pray, I go to sleep. Great. That is so cool that you can relax in His presence. You know the voice that when you wake up that says, "You're so stupid, you fall asleep praying." That's not God's voice. That's Satan's voice. That voice that's judging you and condemning you and putting you down, that's not God's voice. God says, "Hallelujah, you started praying and you fell asleep in my recliner. That's awesome. I'll wake you up before work in the morning. Don't worry about it. I'll leave a nightlight on for you." God's not worried about that. You know that God can put instructions in our heart while we sleep? Lots of verses talk about that in the Bible. God doesn't have a problem with you falling asleep. Man, there's lots of times I'll be reading in bed and Kari will come in and take the book off my chest. I'm take my glasses off, turn the light off. I don't wake up in the morning going, "Oh God, I was supposed to read 3 chapters. I only got through 2 paragraphs. I feel so condemned." I don't wake up in the morning like that. Just wake up in the morning knowing that He loves me. I fell asleep on His couch. Big deal. Big deal. Relax in His presence. Here's what I want you to do. Come to God with assurance and confidence. When you walk into His, when I go to Mom and Dad's house, I just walk in the door. Assurance and confidence. I'm welcome here. This is my house. What's theirs is mine, and what's mine is mine. That's kind of, anytime Dad's missing tools, he starts looking at my garage, you know? That's just the way life goes. It's a really bummer, though, now that I have kids and they're older. So my chickens have come home to roost. Help me, Jesus. So come into His presence with confidence and assurity. Take off your dirty shoes. Come boldly. Sit right down, make yourself comfortable, and stay a while. Don't get in a hurry. Relax. Cast your cares on Him. Soak up His love. Soak up His peace. Soak up His grace. And stay a while. Just stay a while. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank You for Your word today. We do want to learn how to come into Your presence with confidence and assurance. Teach us that. Teach us, Lord, that, yeah, we need to get rid of the contaminations in our life, but that's easy. And then we could just come right in boldly and be with You. And Lord, teach us not to be in such a hurry, I pray. I pray that, God, and thank you for it. God, today there's some people that they didn't know they could come. They didn't know that you were that accepting. They didn't know that that invitation was so broad and it included them. And they've been listening to condemnation so long. Today, set them free from that. Today, let them have a new heart for you, God, a new heart concerning you, God, and let them have confidence and boldness. God, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, the ushers are coming. We're going to receive the offering. You can get your folders out. We'd love you to take whatever you want out of this, but leave the folder. We'll restock it for you next week. Your Connect card is in there. You can grab that. If you're a first-time guest with us, second-time guest, for sure, we want you to fill this out. We have a free gift for you back on the table, Sink or Swim book. It's absolutely free, and it's our gift for you today. We also have some other great things we'd like to connect with you about, and you'll like them. So fill that out, check the boxes, and turn it in this offering today. If you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, on the back, you can check that box. You want to help with Trunk or Treat, you can check that. We need to buy some more Sink or Swim books. If you would help us with that, you can check that box. Regarding the message, I'm coming boldly into God's presence. Jesus cleanses me and gives me free access. I want to know God more. If that's you, check that box. And the last one is, I'm going to be at home in God's presence. I'm going to learn how to kick off my shoes and stay a while. I'm not going to be in a hurry with God. That's a good one. So check that box. Prayer requests and answered prayers, you can write on there too. So we'll just give you a minute to do that. Hey, we love you being here. Invite your friends and family to come. Check us out. Check us out on the web. Lots of great things happening. That movie that we advertised, that's in Grangeville. And it's one or two free showings. They had the dates and times. I don't remember what they are now. Two free showings on the 14th. So, 1:30 and 3:30. So that's up in Grangeville, and you're all welcome to that. I would recommend you go buy a ticket and watch it, and then you use that day.